The reading today is from John, the 20th chapter, the first 10 verses, and then beyond that to verse 18. Listen for the word of God.
On Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran to Simon Peter and to Jesus' favorite disciple and said, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb. We don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. They ran side by side until the other disciple ran faster than Peter and got there first. He bent over and saw the strips of linen cloth lying inside the tomb, but he did not go in. When Simon Peter got there, he went into the tomb and saw the strips of cloth. He also saw the piece of cloth that had been used to cover Jesus' face. It was rolled up and in a place by itself. The disciple who got there first then went into the tomb, and when he saw it, he believed. At that time, Peter and the other disciple did not know that the scriptures said Jesus would rise to life. So the two of them went back to the other disciples.
The story of Easter then continues in this way. Mary Magdalene stood crying outside the tomb. She was still weeping when she stooped down and saw two angels inside. They were dressed in white and were sitting where Jesus' body had been. One was at the head and the other was at the foot. The angels ask Mary, "Why are you crying?" She answered, "They have taken away my Lord's body, and I don't know where they have put him." As soon as Mary said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know who he was. Jesus asked her, "Why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener and said, "Sir, if you have taken his body away, please tell me so I can go get him." Then Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni." The Aramaic word Rabboni means teacher. Jesus told her, "Don't hold on to me. I have not yet gone to the Father. But tell my disciples, I am going to the one who is my Father and my God, as well as your Father and your God." Mary Magdalene then went and told the disciples she had seen the Lord. She also told them what he had said to her. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for the story of the risen Christ saying the name Mary. May we hear the risen Christ say our name this Easter day. Amen. While it was still dark, that's how John begins his Easter account. It was dark. God does his best work in the dark. when the world is asleep, when the world has given up and said enough, when the world goes into exhaustion, when we close our eyes and believe it is nighttime for me, my life has lost its focus, my life has lost its meaning, my life has lost its directions, I am not able to take another step. God does his best work at night in the darkness. And so maybe you are here on this Easter morning wondering, is there a good word? Is there a strong word? Is there a word for me today that will lift me out of my darkness to a different, better light? God does his best work in the dark. Barbara Brown Taylor is one of my favorite preachers. She's a teacher and a writer. She was named one of the 10, get this, one of the 10 best preachers in the United States. I was named number 11. But I only got an honorable mention. She was not preaching that Easter. She was in the pew, as you are here today. And the minister got up to give the sermon and told an Easter bunny joke. And then he told another Easter bunny joke. And then he told another Easter bunny joke, and then another, and another, and another, and for the next 25 minutes, it was one Easter bunny joke after another. And Barbara Brown Taylor was looking up in the ceiling and wondering, how long, oh Lord, how do I get out of here? And she said the feeling that she had was, is there such a thing as pulpit police? She said, if there is such a thing as a pulpit police, I've got to call him now and have this guy handcuffed and taken away. Is there any better news for us than Easter bunnies on this Easter day? A few years ago, Audrey and I went to Chautauqua for the day. We've been there longer periods of time, but it's expensive. You know, the Chautauqua institutions. People from Pittsburgh flock up there in the summertime. But Sundays are free. And I am cheap. Fact is, I have a motto. If it's free, look for me. I even cut my own hair. I'm so cheap. Can you tell? I know what you're thinking. We can tell. Yes. So we were there for the Sunday. It was a beautiful Sunday. And that afternoon, there was a lecture by a bishop. And I talked to a couple people who were on their way to hear his afternoon lecture. They have these theaters out on the grass spread around the institution, and you sit in the chairs, and the place was packed. Every chair was filled. The grass was covered with so many people. Some were sitting on chairs, some were standing. It was a massive group of people that had come to hear this bishop that Sunday afternoon. He had done some pretty great things in his life. I have to give him that. He was always a champion for the poor, for the oppressed, for the ostracized, for the marginalized. He had a lifetime of service to those who had no voice and no power. He spoke up for them. He worked for them. He had done some really great things. But on this Sunday, he started talking about Easter. And he told us that there is no resurrection. He said, you know, if you look at the scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all have different accounts. They are contradictory. They are mutually exclusive. There is no resurrection, he said. The stone was not rolled away. No one spoke to the risen Christ. The biblical writers meant well, but they just were confused and wrote what they wanted to believe. And none of it is true. I was about ready to get my phone out and call Barbara Brown Taylor and say, did you ever find those pulpit police? Because there's a bishop here that needs to be taken away. And then he ended his lecture by saying, not only is there no Easter, there is no life. It's over. When you die, this is Bertrand Russell, when you die, you shall rot, and nothing of your ego will survive. And then as he finished the lecture, it felt like it was almost an afterthought. He said, it's just luck. Some of us are born lucky. He said, I was born lucky. The lecture finished and I didn't remember that there was any applause or appreciation. The crowd sort of dispersed without any sense of good news or hope or belief in more than what we can touch and see and think and believe. So luck. Where does that leave the vast majority of us? The vast majority, this uncountable number of people that are born in disease and poverty and extreme need, that suffer wars and earthquakes and early death and hurt and pain, who live from one minute to the next with most of the time nothing to eat, for all the children with bloated bellies, for all the injustice and meanness and cruelty and violence and war. What about all of those people? Too bad. It's just a matter of luck. On this Easter day, we come to believe so much more than that. I wish that the bishop had lived a little bit longer. He died when he was 90 years old, 5 years ago, but he had already been left behind because the intellectual currents of the world had already gone way beyond him. It's called the new physics. I hate even to say that word, physics. I had physics in high school. It was an awful experience. One of the worst experiences of my life. I know nothing, okay? I know nothing about physics. But I know this much, that the new physics, the new science, is telling us that the universe isn't closed as we thought it was, what our rational minds thought at one time, that the universe was a closed system. Everything happened because some law, cause and effect. But the new science, the new physics, began looking at the universe and they said to each other, it's alive. The universe is expanding. The universe is living and the universe is breathing. It's a thing of life, and no longer can we say that something is impossible. We don't know what's possible or impossible anymore. You remember when the angel visited Mary, Mother of Jesus? He came to her and surprised her and said, you're going to have a baby. And Mary said to the angel, didn't anyone tell you about the birds and the bees? No, he said, you're going to have a baby. And then he said, nothing is impossible for God. And so we have been set into this world of infinite possibilities. And the most wonderful part of that is that in the coming of Easter, God has placed into the world what the hymn writer Charles Wesley calls pure unbounded. You get that word? Underline that word. Unbounded love, Charles Wesley wrote into the hymn. What does unbounded mean? It means love which doesn't have any limits. It's a love that can go into any darkness. It's a love that can call people out of the deepest darkness and suffering and need. It's unbounded. It can go anywhere. It can do anything. We said this morning, you said the creed. What were the words that you said? He descended into hell. Love can go anywhere. Love can go into any hell. Love can go into any place. Pure, unbounded love has been set forth on Easter morning. And that means this whole world is done. This whole world is finished. In this different world where love can be unbounded and go anywhere and do anything, the old world is finished. The people who were first are now last, you see, in this new world. The people who empty bedpans and wash feet are now in control, and the oligarchs and the dictators are now unemployed. In this new world, God can do miraculous things in your life, in my life. In this new world, the things that were once so important, the gold and the silver, are worth less than a smile and a hug and an I love you. That's what this new world is about. Everything that was valuable before is no longer valuable. And the things that were hidden, the things that were without, were easily come, are now the greatest of these things. And to this world, we celebrate Easter with all of its infinite possibilities. Of a God can do anything, of a love that can change a life, of a person living in darkness that can be pulled into the light. Our God reigns, as the music said to us this morning. William Barber is co-chair of the People's Poverty Campaign. He grew up in North Carolina in an extended family. We know everybody went to church on Sunday morning, and then they would gather for Sunday dinner in the afternoon. And he said that he had this grandmother that he just dearly loved, but after church would be over on Sunday morning and before dinner was served in the afternoon, she would say, "I'll be there shortly. First of all, we've got to go hope somebody." William Barber thought, oh, she means help. But she never said help. And when he got older, he understood what she was saying. And he realized that she was using the exact correct word. That's the Easter task, you see. Easter is not something that just stays in the sanctuary. You've got somebody in your life that you need to hope today, to share some gift of your heart and life, something of your love and grace and beauty. Easter has to get into the world where we hope one another. Anybody want to call the pulpit police yet? Okay, this is the end. Christ is risen, because everything is possible now. The tomb is empty. The seas roar praise of God. The trees clap their hands. The stars shine in glory, because on Easter morning, God reached down into the tomb and called forth into life the Prince of Love. And the best part of this is that it's just getting started. And there is so much, so much, so much more to come. Let us pray. Oh God, may the glory, may the message, may the light, the power, the love and grace of Easter morning be in this place and in every heart that praises your name this day. Amen.